today in our sermon series, we've come to the fourth commandment. And on one hand, the fourth commandment is by far the most ignored commandment. Some people have even kind of tongue-in-cheek referred to the commandments as the nine commandments, because the fourth commandment is the one that gets most ignored. At the same time, it's also the most abused commandment. It's the commandment that most tempts us to be Pharisaical, to come up with our own laws, to come up with our own rules, and then to apply those rules to others, often without even bothering to tell them that we're applying those rules to them. So on one hand, we have the fourth commandment being the most ignored, and the other, we have it being in many ways the most abused. Let's remember as we read these passages that this commandment, and indeed the entire law, is not primarily restrictive. The law was not given so that we would be fenced in. The law is for our freedom, and it's an expression of God's holy character. It shows us the freedom that we have in Christ, and in many ways that's the reason for the hymns that we've chosen this morning. The hymns that we've chosen show the love and the grace of Christ, the freedom that we have in Him. So it is with the law, and it's in light of that freedom that we have in the law that we are to conform ourselves by God's grace to His holiness. So let us approach the Word of God, our holy God, with reverent care. Beginning with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through chapter 2, verse 3. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And turning to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 23, verse 3. And this refers to the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. And turning to Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. As you're no doubt aware, Deuteronomy means second law, and this is the second the restatement of the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Turning to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, verses 9 through 14. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And finally, turning over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, and we'll read through chapter 4, verse 13. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who had listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day there later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word.
Good morning. We'll continue our series through the book of Exodus this morning, and we'll be reading and hearing from the sermon will be from Exodus chapter 20, particularly the fourth commandment. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus chapter 20. as we will consider the fourth commandment today. The fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. As Steve pointed out, and it is very important to say this before we begin, again, looking at the law of God, is it is extremely important to understand the fourth commandment in light of our culture. It is the most ignored commandment and also the one that is the most abused. It's the one that's so easy for us to make a list, check it twice, see whether we're naughty or nice, and then point our finger at others who aren't so nice, who aren't keeping it as well as we are, and to make rules. And we want to be careful not to do that. We want to be careful to hear what God has to say and be obedient by His grace. But we want to be cautious about making additional rules that the Word of God does not teach. That was the problem with the Pharisees, and why one reason why Jesus got so angry with them is they weren't keeping the Sabbath, but they sure were doing a good job of looking like they were keeping the Sabbath. Like all the laws are kept from the heart. They're only a result of sanctification because we've already been redeemed. Remember that. When God begins speaking of the law, He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. In other words, I'm speaking to justified people. I'm speaking to people I've redeemed. And now I'm going to tell you how to live redeemed lives. I'm going to tell you how not to get redeemed, but how to live redeemed lives. Liberty, freedom in me, God says. By my grace, He says. So remember, when we're reading the law, it begins with grace. I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. And it continues for us in the Christian life, remembering the perpetual nature of the law, that the law continues because Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, meaning the law of Moses, particularly the 10 words or commandments. I came to fulfill them. And in me, you shall find rest for your souls. In me, you shall keep the Sabbath holy. It's important to remember grace when we're looking at this. The fourth commandment, you need the rest and the change. God wants to redeem the rhythm of our time, the way we spend time in His world. With that said, let us begin by reading from Exodus 20. I'll begin reading the first four commandments. One more word. The first four commandments, remember, are the first table of the law, and they have to do with God and the worship of God, whereas the second table of the law have to do with our neighbor, our love for our neighbor. The first four commandments primarily have to do with the love of God. Remember, that's why Jesus will summarize the law and say, the summary of the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, first four commandments, and to love your neighbor as yourself, the last six commandments. All right. With that said, let us hear the word of the Lord and let us heed the word of the Lord. God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you with your word open before us, and we ask that you would instruct and teach our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to merely try to keep your commandments merely externally, but that these commandments, the desire to keep them and the actual keeping of them would flow out of our lives because we've been united to Jesus Christ and been given of His Spirit, that you've written the law in our hearts, and so we desire these things. Help us, O Lord, as we learn from your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keeping the Sabbath holy. Let me remind you that the Hebrew word for Sabbath means to cease, literally. To cease or to rest. And what God calls us to in the fourth commandment is a holy ceasing and a holy resting. There is a passive activity with regard to resting. There's also an active activity with regard to worship. And we want to consider these things. The first thing you should notice about the fourth commandment that's different than all the rest, it's the first commandment that does not have a negative beginning. All the other commandments say, thou shalt not, except for the fifth, of course, and that's the second one that has a positive command. Honor your father and your mother. The fourth commandment is the first one with a positive command. It says, remember right up front, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, let me remind you of a couple of things before we begin. This may be the oldest commandment. Why am I saying that? Well, because this was the oldest, if you will, explicitly revealed in Scripture. When Moses wrote, all the way back chronologically to Genesis, he roots the Sabbath in creation. Even before the Exodus, the Sabbath, the resting, was because God rested from His labors on the seventh day. And so it's rooted right from the very beginning for all of mankind, for all of creation to be in rhythm as God's creatures with God the Creator. The whole, will of God revealed to man in the creation is that man was going to be given gifts and callings of God to have dominion over the earth, but he was to do that 6 days, as God worked 6 days, and on the seventh he was to rest. And this was the purpose of all the creation. And I have to remind you of something, that after the fall, this too gets perverted. This too gets disobeyed. This too gets abused, the fourth commandment. Now, I want to remind you of something. What God is doing in the redemption of Israel, we got to think of the redemptive historical context here to remind ourselves of why we're looking at the Ten Commandments. God was taking a people and making them what? A new creation. He was taking a people and going to show forth to the world His will in this one nation. His light. They were to be a light to the people. And so, in other words, He was restoring or beginning to restore the old creation with a new creation. And so He says, not only did I rest in the old creation, but in the making of a new, restored, redeemed people from the fall, I want you too to continue to keep this creation Sabbath, this rest. I want you creatures who particularly are my redeemed people to step in time with me, to keep in step with me. I want you to work 6 days according to your calling and having dominion over the earth. And then I want you to give you a gift of gifts. I want you to be given this delightful holiday every week. I'm going to give you a holy day. I'm going to give you a holiday every week, says the Lord. And I want you to appreciate this holy day, this holiday, which is your gift. Later on in the prophets, he'll say, Isaiah says, I want you, Israel. Israel, by this time, had forgotten their call as the new creation. They were beginning to show us in redemptive history how they weren't going to be the perfect new creation. They too fell away from God. They too were kicked out of Eden or the promised land. And they too were sent in exile. They were profaning the Sabbath. And Isaiah says, you've missed the point, Israel. You're only merely surfacely keeping the Sabbath. You're only merely doing it outwardly, externally, not from the heart. But I want you to call the Sabbath a delight, because it is something God's given to His creatures, particularly His new creatures, those He's redeemed, to give them rest. So I want you to call it a delight. A delight. A delight. It's hard for us to call it a delight. We see it as somehow, well, taking a day away from us that we need. And I'll just remind you of something. In a 24/7 culture, this too is the way the law addresses the present context in which we're in as the church. And as the church, we want to listen carefully to the best of our ability, because every one of the commandments is pointed directly, unchangeably, to address the culture in which we find ourselves. If we live, and we do, in a 24/7, busy, fast-paced culture, we need the rest. And God is going to address us in that matter today by His grace. So the first thing he says is, remember the Sabbath. What does it mean to remember? First thing he says positively, remember in verse 8, remember the Sabbath. What does remembering mean in the Scripture? Remembering doesn't merely mean to call to mind. It means to call to mind in order to bring action. That is, to call to mind in order to bring action. All through Deuteronomy, Moses reminds the people of Israel to remember the word of the Lord, remember the word of the Lord, remember the word of the Lord. His reason is not so they just say, that's nice, I remembered the word of the Lord. It's so that the remembering might cause their feet to act a certain way, that they might respond a certain way. On September 14th every year, we have two special celebrations in our household. I am to remember two things, my wife's birthday and my anniversary. But can you imagine if I just said, well, honey, just wanted to let you know, I remembered. I remembered our anniversary and I remembered your birthday. No, that wouldn't be enough. She's wanting to see some action. She wants to see a response to that remembering. That's what remembering in the Bible means. We got to show some action. And God is saying, remember, remember, remember. Not just call it to mind. Well, I think this is Sunday. Oh, this is the Lord's Day. That's right, it is. No, he's saying, I want you to remember. I want you to remember in order that you might take action and obey by my grace, because it's your gift. What are we to remember? Well, we're to remember God's sovereignty over our lives. When he calls us to worship, to remind us that he's faithful and good, to remind us of the gospel. You remember, we are so forgetful how easily we forget. The moment we wake up on Monday morning, we forget what we heard the day before. God knows our weakness. He knows that we forget his faithfulness and his goodness, and he wants us to be reminded of it. He wants us to take seriously what he commands us to do. I'll remind you of what Jesus says in Mark 2 with regard to the Sabbath. He's very clear when he's healing people on the Sabbath, the Pharisees are looking and watching and saying, look at this man breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus says, isn't the Sabbath meant to restore? Isn't the Sabbath meant to heal? Isn't it for your good? Haven't you realized that? Don't you know? You were not created for the Sabbath. No. Drawing again from theology from the creation account, Jesus says, the Sabbath was created for you. And its purpose is to restore, to refresh, to remind the people of God that God is creator and that he's redeemer in Jesus Christ, ultimately, for the New Testament people of God. So the first thing we are to remember. The second thing is we're to keep it holy. We're to keep it holy. Now, how do we do this? This is the hard part for list makers. Listen, all people made in God's image are list makers because of the fall. We all want to try to find a list of do's and don'ts in order to keep something holy. So when God says, keep it holy, well, what he's saying is to set apart, consecrate it, make it special, make it unique. It should be a holy day or a holiday. It should be unique because you have a tendency to forget God and his redemption. So keep it holy. But then the question comes, well, how do you do that? Well, let's look, if you will, through redemptive history for a moment and see what God clearly reveals about how to keep it and how not to keep it. And allow the whole of redemptive history to tell us a little bit about the importance, and then let's address perhaps how we keep it holy in a practical way. So let's look at an overview of redemptive history for a moment. And I'm going to give you these scriptures, and then I'm going to ask you just to look at them later with your family if you'd like, for time's sake. But in Exodus 16, even before the formal giving of the law, the manna that was provided by God was not to be collected on the Sabbath. That it already was in place because of creation. That they were just merely being taught and reminded again that your provision is from the Lord, but this manna, I want you to collect a double portion on Saturday. I want you to get your house in order. I want you to prepare for this day because I'm not going to provide you any manna on this day. I don't want you breaking the Sabbath. So even before he gives this specific detail in the Ten Commandments, he's already assuming they understand. He's already telling them that he doesn't want them to collect. What's the principle there? We want to ask the principle. What's the principle? Getting our house in order, getting our house in order to the best of our ability before we have the Sabbath. Now, I understand some of you are asking and thinking in your mind that, well, what about the Sabbath and then this Lord's Day? So if you would hold on that one with me, I'm going to try to answer that one later. But just for now, I'm assuming the unity of the people of God in both the Old and the New Testament. And I'm assuming that this Sabbath somehow still applies to us primarily because of Matthew 5:17 and Jesus saying that I haven't come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. So hang on with me, if you would, please. And we'll address that in a moment. So, number one, the provision. They were to get their house in order. It was not to be gathered on the Sabbath. Number two, Numbers 15, verses 32 to 36 is a passage that takes us back a bit. God says, I want you to take the Sabbath so seriously that if you find a person even picking up sticks, I want you to stone them. God was saying, this is very serious. Sticks and stones will break your bones. This is very, very serious matter, I'm saying, the Lord says. I want you to understand that the picking up the sticks is legitimate work 6 days of the week, but on the seventh or the Sabbath day, it's not to be a legitimate work or activity. Well, what's the principle again? The principle that we can see is that there are some legitimate recreation and vocations that we do 6 days of the week. There's legitimate yard work we do, if I can say it that way. But on the seventh day, there's something special and specific about this day that God calls us away from this normal routine. Because picking up sticks on the other 6 days would have been okay. Number three, Exodus 31:15, Bezalel. Bezalel and Oholiab are gifted to build the tabernacle. But even in all their gifts, God says they shall work 6 days. But on the seventh, I do not want to see Bezalel and Oholiab making their art. Again, the principle is there was something different about the seventh day. There was something set apart, consecrated. The principle was Bezalel is gifted. He's got this vocation. Let him work 6 days. I've called him to the purpose, but I don't want him to work on the seventh. I don't want him to work on this one. Now, I'm trying to give you principles from God's Word so that we can avoid rulemaking, okay? That's what we're doing here. Number four, Leviticus 23:3, God says this is a Sabbath. It's a time of rest, but it's also a time of worship. He calls it in Leviticus 23:3, a holy convocation. And a holy convocation was a gathering of His people together for public worship. It wasn't merely that we kept the Sabbath or we keep the Sabbath individually. We keep the Sabbath together as a holy convocation. In 2 Kings 4:23, Sabbath was a time of hearing the prophet and the word of God proclaimed to the people. In 2 Kings 4:23, it says that this was a special day when the prophet was when they went to ask the prophet of what God's will was. That it wasn't the Sabbath. It makes that clear. And the reason it makes that clear is because it's saying that there was a special day set apart for the hearing of the word, for the prophet to speak God's will. But this was a different day. They actually went and sought the prophet on a day that wasn't the Sabbath, which was the normal way of hearing God's word was on the seventh day, the Sabbath. Number six, Isaiah tells us to call the Sabbath a delight in Isaiah 58. He tells us to understand it as something that's wonderful, as a gift that's been given to the people of God, to not be caught up in the 24/7 culture. You understand it's not we're not the first culture that has a 24/7 culture. You'll understand and remind yourself that Israel worked for over 400 years, 7 days a week as slaves. They knew what it was like to work as slaves. 7 days a week, 24 hours, 7 days a week. They understood a 24/7 culture. And God's saying, I'm not doing it like Egypt. I'm going to do it a little differently. You're not slaves. You're redeemed servants. And I'm going to teach you how to live freely. And I'm not going to be like Pharaoh, the taskmaster. I'm going to be the Creator God who gives you one day out of seven to rest from your labors. Number seven, in Luke 4:16, we have Jesus going to the synagogue for the purpose of hearing the word the law and the prophets were read and to hear the preaching of the word. He was present there because he thought that was very important. He was there for the synagogue. Now, he didn't merely go to the synagogue and hear the word and worship God externally. He also went out and showed forth how that word was to be understood now that the new heavens and the new earth were dawning in his person and work. Here is Jesus. Here is the apex of the new creation. Here is the one who will redeem all things in his person and work, who will keep the fourth commandment. And he's going out from the hearing of the word preached, and he's going to heal. He's going to restore people because He's saying that this was the whole purpose of the Sabbath in the first place. So it's here to be restored. It's here for me to heal. It's here for me to say, hey, guess what? The kingdom of God is at hand. And in me, you'll find your full Sabbath rest. In me, you never entered that rest. Why? Because you failed as new creation, Israel. You failed in keeping the commandments. And I am here, Jesus says, as the true Israelite, you'll keep the commandments and who will enter into the eternal rest at God's right hand. And all those in the Old and the New Testament will enter in by faith with me. It's interesting to note, number 8, that Mary anointed Jesus after the Sabbath. You would think that Jesus' body was important enough to break the Sabbath over. Perhaps she could have anointed His body on the Sabbath, but no, it was important for her to wait till after the Sabbath to anoint Jesus' body. And finally, as I said and pointed out, Jesus showed the Sabbath as the true new heavens and new earth dawning, the new creation in Him, and He began the process of restoring and healing people, and He overturned the thinking of the Pharisees that was merely external. So those are some principles of how the people of God without rules can learn from the principles throughout Scripture that the Sabbath, that this one day in seven was extremely important to God. One thing maybe that would help a little bit, us understanding, is that remember, we live for the glory of God. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And if He says keeping one day out of seven will glorify Him, then in Christ, by His grace, we want to do that. Why? Even if it rubs us the wrong way, even if we don't like it, we nevertheless have been called to glorify Him. And it's the Sabbath. It's one way the Sabbath glorifies Him, just as when we obey in Christ the other commandments. So keeping the Sabbath holy, there are principles there. What's another point that he makes? He says, 6 days you shall labor. God says positively, 6 days you shall labor. Why does he say that? Well, because he's made us in his image and he's given us gifts, callings to fulfill. And so he gives us 6 days to do this labor for him. He gives us 6 days to do this labor. God wants us. God wants us to be in step with him, to be in rhythm with him. Let me remind you that if, and I think it is clearly, that the Sabbath is a creation ordinance, you understand that it will be a new creation ordinance, meaning in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, we will work 6 days by his grace and rest one day. Do you understand that? That this is something that even now he wants the people of God to be in rhythm for eternity, if you will. Work is not a bad thing. Remember, it's the fall that made labor difficult. It's what caused the land to produce thorns and thistles, and the fall made man have to work at his labor. But work in and of itself was another creation mandate along with the Sabbath. You see, it was something rooted in creation, like marriage, like work. So it's a very important principle that will continue into the new heavens and the new earth. There's nothing in heaven like we're going to be floating on clouds playing harps all the time. There will be a time for music and musicians because there'll be redeemed music and musicians. Thanks be to God. But we will still have 1 and 7 days. It's God's eternal pattern. And God wants us to stay in step with Him. Now, part of this understanding, this 6 days you shall labor and then the seventh I want you to rest, this rhythm, this keeping in step with God, sometimes has raised the question as to why Reformed people or people who are heirs of the Reformation do not go by, if you will, the church calendar. This is a reason why we do not. We observe and acknowledge certain time periods of the year, particularly Easter and Christmas and other times of the year of the church calendar. But the reason we don't go by the church calendar is because God's given us a different one. He's given us a weekly church calendar. He's given us a holy day or holiday to begin each week. And so that's one reason why we stay in step with God in a different way. I appreciate the church calendar. I appreciate the history of it. I appreciate some of the benefits of learning from it. But the real church calendar that's biblical and inspired is a weekly church calendar. It's a church calendar that every week we begin the week with the worship of God. And so there are principles of preparation and observation of the Lord's Day we can think about. If we're all honest with ourselves, in our time, we work so hard as people, we work at our play, and we tend to play at our work. We work very hard at playing. We just cannot, in a 24/7 culture, sit back and relax and take time to understand what it means to rest. We're going continuously all the time. And so we play at work, and we tend to work at play. We just don't have the rhythm by nature that God wants us to have. It's not akin to us any more than wanting to honor His name or His attributes in the third commandment, or any more than we want to make images of God. There's a sinful tendency that He's addressing here in the fourth commandment, in other words. There's a sinful tendency for us to continue to stay busy, 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 and to be creatures and Lord over our own time. I don't want you to miss that, you see. It's the tendency to live in a 24/7 culture, being Lord over our own time and space, rather than allowing God to be Lord over time and space. And so, how can we keep the Lord's Day holy? We can let go of ordinary daily concerns. We can try our best by God's grace to focus on worship and the rest that He's given us. Listen, parents, don't assume, you see, that your children understand how to rest. We all really don't know how to. It's something that must be learned. And I think the learning of it is found in the wisdom of the fourth commandment, in understanding what it means, in setting our rhythm and our patterns time-wise to God's pattern in time. You see, because we assume that people know how to rest. We know how to be lazy, you see. We know how to be slothful. That's what we know how to do. It's one of the seven deadly sins. We don't work during the 6 days, you see. But we know how to do that. But we don't necessarily know what it means to rest. Rest. We don't know what it means to actually live in liberation in Jesus Christ, and on one day to rest in Him, to worship in Him, to learn from Him, to have a special set apart day, not only of rest, but of a holy convocation. Listen again to Leviticus 23:3. It says, 6 days shall work be done. On the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. A holy convocation means assembled for a ceremony. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath, the Lord, in all your dwelling places. No matter where you are, no matter where we are, the Lord calls us to this day of rest and day of worship, a holy convocation. A time to enter into corporate fellowship with other believers, to hear and learn from the Word of God, and to appreciate the corporateness, and not merely the individualness of the Lord's Day, but to appreciate the corporateness of the Lord's Day. In the New Testament, let me just say this, the reason why the Sabbath, the seventh day, switches to the first day, is because the New Testament says that the resurrection happened on the first day. And what was the significance of the resurrection? The significance of the resurrection was that we now had the head of a new creation, the true Israelite, the one who had kept God's commandments, the one who had kept covenant with God, the one who had taken all His covenant curses on Himself, and the one who was raised perfectly to God's right hand and entered into not only a rest here on earth, but eternal rest in heaven. And so Jesus on the Lord's Day proclaimed the Sabbath to be fulfilled. Jesus, if you will, took the Sabbath into the tomb with Him and came out with the Lord's Day in His resurrection. There's still a pattern of 6 days, 6 days of laboring and one to rest. Remember the perpetual nature of the law. It hasn't changed. There's still an ongoing principle that 6 days you shall labor, one you shall rest. Since the resurrection and the new creation, Jesus has said that this, in my resurrection, is now the first day. And we have this benefit as the people of God, worshiping the first day of the week. Worshiping the first day of the week, looking forward to our eternal Sabbath in Jesus, resting and worshiping God. Resting from what? Well, from our works. Resting from the works that we do, not only physically, but spiritually. Resting in the work and the person of Christ. Resting in Jesus, who is the eternal Sabbath keeper. The first day of the week reminds us that we're united to Jesus Christ by faith as His people, to appreciate the corporateness of it, to appreciate the fact that He's united the whole church together with Him. And this day He calls us to a holy convocation, a worship service. He calls us to come and worship Him as His people so that the whole world will know that there's a new creation that has dawned. In a 24/7 culture, we are trying and we desire nobly to place the Ten Commandments in public places. But don't forget, people of God, you have the Ten Commandments written on your heart by the Holy Spirit. And there is a fourth commandment. And there is a commandment that continues to remind us that 6 days you shall labor, but one is a day of rest and worship. Do you believe that just keeping this one commandment by God's grace and because we're united to Christ would make a difference in our world? God actually says it would. He actually says that other nations would see Israel's rhythm and keeping in step, a different way of doing things, and it would say, the nations would say, look at the wisdom that Israel has. In Deuteronomy 4, and we're talking about the corporateness of keeping the Sabbath here, the corporateness of us all joining together to worship and exalt the name of Jesus Christ who is risen, and to remind ourselves that we are setting the pace now to a new creation where we await to be in the presence of the Lord forever. But in Deuteronomy 4, Moses tells the people, now Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules I'm teaching you and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. And then verse 6, he says, keep these commandments and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all of these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.